Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Nicole hosts Easter every year. That's why she shops at BJ's Wholesale Club, stocking up on spiral ham, baked goods, fresh flowers, candy, and 5 dozen eggs.
I've got a lot of baskets to fill.
Nicole's not worried because she knows she can save big and get it all done in one trip.
It's like winning the Easter egg hunt.
When you save, everyone wins. Get a $15 digital coupon when you spend $150 in one transaction, now through April 5th. Visit BJ's.com/Easter coupon for details. BJ's, your Easter destination.
The Burt Show.
Happy holidays from The Burt Show. Here's a special segment from The Burt Show Youth Group while the oldies are on vacation.
Have you guys done the thing where you actually kind of purge your For You page so that embarrassing things don't come up when you're watching TikToks in front of other people?
I was appalled because the first time I saw anybody do this, I didn't even know you could reset your For You page or your TikTok or your Instagram Explore page. And then when I saw you do that, I thought, men are diabolical, because I feel like this has gone down in the male group chats where it's like, if you don't want your girl to know that you're looking at Mia Khalifa edits or whatever, or just, you know, Instagram edits of Chris Hemsworth sweating, you can reset your entire Explore page so they don't know what you're getting into.
Nobody's looking at Mia Khalifa.
Oh my God.
Speak for yourself.
Well, I'm a bad social media producer because I had no idea you could reset. But my For You page, I built it brick by brick. I cannot get rid of this now. No one can see it. No one's allowed to go on my TikTok, but that is mine forever.
Which is why I didn't reset mine completely, because again, I completely agree. My For You page, my algorithm is carefully catered and curated towards my likings. But when I was a single person, obviously there were more thirst traps than when I was in a relationship. And when I realized that my girlfriend and I would be laying there watching TikTok together, some inappropriate things can come up and I never wanted them to. And so instead of resetting my entire algorithm, men, guys out there, if you guys want to do this, you can actually just hold down on the video and say not interested, and it'll stop feeding you that type of content.
In my experience, I feel like the not interested has never gotten them off my For You page. I'll see something that just sends me into a spiral, and I slam that button down. I'm like, no, thank you. And yet there they are 10 minutes later on my FYP.
You have to retrain the algorithm. So it's something that you have to be very proactive about. Anytime that type of video comes up, you just have to keep doing it. And eventually, it really does clean up your page.
I still get those freaking alpha wolf weird romance ads every time I go. I scroll like 5 times on my TikTok and they pop up and they are so strange and seductive. And it's ever since Abby talked about the weird alpha stories on TikTok, they won't go away.
That's on you. The For You page at this point is just serving you what you're looking at, because I have not seen those alpha wolf edits in a hot second. Now, there was a brief amount of time where I was getting, it was kind of the same thing where they're like those short dramas where it's like the billionaire has to knock up his assistant in order to get his inheritance, and then I just trained my algorithm to not put it on anymore, and they're gone.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest, I think I've completely ruined my, like, I used to be able to recover my algorithm and like get back to a good spot. I ruined it so bad I had to delete TikTok the other day. I don't have it anymore.
Wait, what?
It's been like a week and a half without TikTok. It was just too far gone. I couldn't do anything about it.
What,
like,
were you watching?
What are they? Yeah.
I used to play this game when, like you were saying, you're lying in bed and you're scrolling through TikTok, and it's like, if I can get through 6 TikToks without something incriminating popping up,
oh,
then I'm good. But it just got to a point where it's like, I just got to get rid of this. It's not good.
I just need to know, like, what are the things that are in your algorithms that is making you guys feel like you need to reset?
No, it's like thirst traps. Like, you know, if I'm watching TikTok with my girlfriend, I don't want some half-naked girl dancing to the Renegade for the 10,000th time on my For You page, you know? Like, that's just not it.
It's so easy to get in trouble that way.
Exactly. Really? So, Mikey, you were talking about how there's a trend going on to, like, actually get their guys caught looking at these?
So, I actually survived this one the other day. She said, do you know Cooking with Kaya? I said, what is Cooking with Kaya? And so, I actually got off on this one, but...
This is a family show.
But apparently this is a big thing right now where, like, you can look it up on TikTok. Girlfriends asking their boyfriends, do you know Cooking with Kaya? And it's just very incriminating because it's a girl just cooking, But it's not about the cooking.
What's the gotcha? Like, oh, if
she's throwing that thing in a circle a few times.
Let me pull it up.
Their boyfriends should not be looking at Cooking with Kaya, apparently. I still haven't seen it.
Allegedly.
Kaya is throwing that thing in many shapes.
Is that the woman who just did a segment with DDG? Where allegedly he paid her $4,000 or $10,000 an hour to come and cook and do a segment with him.
Yeah.
$4,000 an hour?
He was twerking more than her, though.
So her at is at Cooking with Kaya, K-Y-A, and her bio says, cook for your man or I'll have to, kissy face.
She knows exactly what she's doing.
She ate with that one, not gonna lie. This food looks bussin' though.
This has been a common trend on TikTok, though, where especially there's certain songs that'll go viral and the only point of the song is for girls to like be twerking to the song or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so girls, to try and catch their mans, they'll play the song out loud and they'll see like if their head perks up. Yep. And so they'll secretly be recording their guy while they're doing it. And I'm sure that's gotten a lot of people in trouble.
It's also funny to do it in reverse whenever the guy just plays the sound and she like just something triggers in her head that just makes her freak out.
Dude, all I'm saying is you go looking for trouble, you're going to find it.
Well, yeah. Okay, let me ask you this. Whenever you search something on TikTok, like, I search something. The first two videos is what I searched, and then it's just.
What do you search?
It's just not. You can search any. You can look pile of sticks, and then four videos down, and 100 videos after that.
It's
just
a pile of sticks.
No.
Wait. Are you all noticing the same common situation here that I'm noticing with these algorithms?
Two men.
Exactly. Thank you, Amber. It's the problem with the two men. So here's come on now.
Okay, I haven't had an actual designated thirst trap on my page in literally over a year, okay? But if I go and look up BMW 3 Series interior, the first two videos will be exactly that, and then all of the other recommended ones are obscene thirst traps.
I haven't had any bad videos on my feed in like a week and a half. I promise you. I promise. I could re-download it right now and look up lipstick, whatever, and it's just going to be bad immediately.
So I just Googled what you said about a minute ago, pile of sticks, and you said after the first couple of videos, it's going to turn into something nasty. So let's start with Mrs. Claire Hoops Crafts and something else. It's too short. So she's making a pile of sticks.
No, just skip the ones with the pile of sticks.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not interested in the pile of sticks, Abby.
No, Noah Khan is the third one. Vermont.
Just get out of there. Just scroll down.
I'm scrolling. Look, okay, cheese sticks, triple dipper from
Chick-fil-A. Oh, that girl. No, she's being sensual.
No!
That was sensual. Okay, she had cheese running out of her mouth.
I found the problem. It's not the content. It's just men objectifying women. Oh. Because you're saying that this is sensual. We're looking at the same video. I'm just seeing a girl enjoying her cheese platter.
No, that's mostly a joke. It gets bad. Jackson, try it.
I really am, and I swear this has been happening so much because I see videos that get put on my page that are like, have you guys just looked up? And then they'll say some completely innocuous thing like water.
Like grass was a big one.
Yeah, and then you look it up and it's been thirst traps like the entire time. Let's do grass.
Well, I have a chinchilla holding sticks, so really it's y'all's FYP.
That's pretty good.
I want you guys to look. This is what happens when I looked up grass.
Yep.
There's a lot of ladies.
It's just boobies.
It's all butts and boobs.
Well, the algorithm knows what you're looking for.
I'm telling you, I've cleaned up my
act. I just looked up beer, and the first video was a lady opening up a beer bottle with her butt.
Well, that's beer.
Yeah.
It's anything for us.
For y'all.
Well, now I have a new theory based off of what Amber just said. It's actually based on those who just like women.
Katie, we got to try you next.
Yeah, what's yours look like?
Well, my algorithm keeps feeding me ads for Blue Chew, so maybe that's the most telling of them.
The Burt Show.
The internet makes you realize how crazy life is every single day. There's so many videos, so many things to chew on and write about, read, I should say, that are online that just make you realize it's a crazy freaking place we're living in.
And that's exactly what happened when I was scrolling on Twitter, minding my business, and came across this video that shocked me and caught me off guard. And I saw it on Red Cinema's Twitter page, and I'm not even going to explain to y'all what happened. I just want it to wash over you as you hear it the same way that I did.
I drink my wife's breast milk every day, all day, straight from the source.
Breastfeeding my husband is not just a luxury, it's actually a necessity. My breasts will go from flat to hard as rock, super engorged breasts because of just so much milk. For the past 2 years, we've been fully breastfeeding, and he drinks it I mean, 3 times a day. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, sometimes a snack.
Breast milk is like a rich, sweet texture of milk, and it tastes good. The most thing I can compare it to is like sweet cereal milk. Like after you're done with cereal and you drink that milk, it's just a little thinner. That's that liquid gold.
That's that liquid gold.
Liquid gold.
To be fair, his immune system is probably way stronger than any of ours will ever be.
For sure. However, when you watch the video and you see him nestled up against his wife.
Yeah, they show it. They show him getting to it.
Oh, so she's not like putting it in any kind of container and he's just chugging it or doing
from
shots.
The source.
He's on her lap.
From the source. She's not using a breast pump. He is cuddling up next to her and got his head up there and he is
sucking away.
Suckling away.
There you go.
Okay, now I'm floored. It was strange before. Now it's just really weird.
Mm-hmm.
3 times a day.
Sometimes four if you want a snack.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, I will admit, the milk after the cereal is usually the best milk I've ever had in my life. That's a damn good milk.
Who could blame him?
For sure. Depending on what the cereal is, too. Like, for me, there is nothing better than Apple Jack's cereal.
Apple Jack's and Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Cinnamon Toast
Crunch. That's the top two right there.
Yes. I like the Cocoa Puffs milk because it's got that's like a chocolate milk.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I remember doing Apple Jacks all the time and then.
Doing
Apple Jacks with cereal.
You crush it and snort it up a straw? Or do you boil the spoon?
Yeah, he's like,
that's Apple Jacks.
That explains the muscles.
I was six, people.
Sorry. We have heard about your upbringing, though.
Yeah. Not that out of the ordinary. However, what was cruel is that you have Apple Jacks or Cinnamon Toast Crunch every single day, and then mom comes in one day and just decides that now we're a Raisin Bran family.
Oh, yeah. Corn Flakes.
That's where the divide happened in our family, right there. Raisin Bran. And I had no idea. She was, because Apple Jacks, bowl after bowl after bowl. I don't know anything about Raisin Bran. I find out later that you're going to be peeing out of your butt all day.
Too much brand. Yes.
She didn't warn me. All right, Abby, you're up.
All right, so I don't know if I can recover from this visual of this man suckling his woman's boop. Okay, go to break. For the record, breastfed my child never sounded like it.
No. How about Bart? When Bart does the suction?
He does have a little bit of a stronger suction, so I can see how that would be the case. Okay, so this is an update from My Strange Addiction. So there was this guy who was in a romantic relationship with his car, and something did happen to his car, Chase. It got into a really bad accident, so Chase is no longer. And this man is obviously very upset about it, but not for long, because quickly after Chase, his lover, died, he found a new lady for his life. This is from Only My Strange Addiction on TikTok.
I still think about Chase every day. But I moved on and found my baby girl online. Pretty good. I love Lex with all my heart.
It's a new car.
Thank you for all you do for me.
He's revving it.
I'm really dedicated to her and just want to be there, I guess, for her as much as I can. Lex is a 2003 luxury sedan. She's my baby girl now, and she just kind of has that just cute face. She's just kind of that baby to me. Hi, baby girl. So with vehicles, I tend to place gender based on looks. Chase had more of a male look to me. And Lex, with her lights and stuff, she just has more of a curved appeal. And so she kind of resembles more of a woman to me. She's got a cute little, her cheeks and stuff, as I call it, kind of in this area. Lex has a lot of things about her that I really love. Her headlights, for one, she just has beautiful eyes. Her taillights are pretty to me as well. She's got a cute butt to me, I think. I like how her taillights really look on her. Lex is a little dirty right now, but even in her own way, she's sexy when she's dirty. I love spending as much time with her as I can.
So he's loving up on the car. He's kissing the car, calling it baby girl. It's a lot.
I hope this doesn't sound judgmental, but that's an effed up dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's down bad.
That's a very effed up dude.
He's down bad.
Real bad.
He's down bad for Lex.
Polite. Impolite.
At some point, he's going to meet a lady, and he's going to ask her out, and the math will say that she'll probably say yes. And then what's she going to do? She's going to Google his name immediately. And that's what's going to come up.
You think this man is going to ask a woman out?
No one can replace Chase.
No one can replace Chase.
Or he'll ask another car out and it will Google him.
Lex is taking enough space in his life and his garage, apparently.
Makes your life seem pretty normal. Yeah.
This is why I love doing the show. Whew.
The Burt Show.
Are we about to expose a dirty little secret about one industry? Mm-hmm. All right. If you are a professional photographer, professional, you get paid for this. 1-855-BURT-SHOW. And I want to put you on the voice disguiser. And I'm asking for total and complete honesty from you guys. Professional photographer, 1-855-BURT-SHOW. This is the DM I get the other day. Okay. Hey, Burt. I've been listening to your show since high school. I can't believe I'm messaging you. You guys don't need to, like, that first line there. You guys don't need to tell me that. Yeah, I don't listen to this since high school. I don't need to know about it. It just makes me feel low.
I always kind of like that. I'm like, oh, you're a long-time listener.
Oh, my God. I've been listening to you since I was 5, and I'm 62 now. Okay. Anyway, I have a career as a nurse, but the past couple of years, I picked up photography. I now have a nice little side job that's becoming a moneymaker, but I'm still new at it. And I have to confess something to you because I think you said on your stories you're dating a professional photographer. Yeah, my Instagram stories. I have mentioned that. Maybe this is a question for all photographers. Do photographers ever pass up jobs because they know they won't be able to take good pictures of those they are shooting? She says, I'm trying to avoid saying it, but since you guys don't know me, do photographers ever pass up jobs because the people are aesthetically unpleasing, as you say? I have no other photographer friends to ask and can't find anybody online talking about it. So am I the only superficial photographer? I know I sound like a jerk, but wondering if this is just an unsaid secret in photography. 1-855-VIRGO. So what she's asking is, maybe she'll get a lead online or whatever, and then she'll go to their Facebook page and realize that they're not pretty people. And she's like, I can't do anything with that. And then turns down the job. Do photographers do this? 1-855-BURT-SHOW.
I mean, it's so subjective, though. Like, beauty is so subjective.
Sometimes fugly is fugly.
Save that.
This might be the truest thing you ever said.
Yeah, sometimes you can't hide fugly.
Listen, man.
Sometimes you can't.
Sometimes it's universal. You know what I'm
saying? Sometimes you can't Photoshop fugly.
Listen, so it is subjective, but a really good photographer wouldn't turn it down because it's about the aesthetic of the photo, and they can make anyone look good. If you look at me right now on our videos on Facebook, I look like a tomato had a baby with the pigeon lady from Home Alone, okay? It is true. And
don't you talk about my friend like that.
I'll own it. Pigeon Lady was a boss. But anyway, my point is, if you look at my wedding photos, I look like an ethereal bride goddess. Now, my makeup artist, shout out to Erica Bogart, had a lot to do with that. But the whole point is, photographers know how to angle you and position you. They know how to bring in the light so it looks good. And then there's a fun little tool called Photoshop where they can go in and post and fix stuff.
So what she's saying is maybe she's so new to this, like, I can't Photoshop fugly is what she's saying.
Yeah.
Like, okay. So we got a couple of photographers willing to go on the voice disguiser to say if she's just being superficial or this is an industry secret. Hey, Jen, good morning. You are on the voice disguiser. Good morning.
Good morning.
You're a professional photographer.
Yes, for 14 years.
Okay. Have you ever turned down a job because the people that requested you are just ugly?
No, because I'm a strong believer in disproving the myth that people aren't photogenic. And for me, it's really important for people to feel like they have a safe space and to empower people. And I think if that's how you look at the world, I think you have to look at yourself and reflect a little bit. Maybe there's some insecurity there. But I think definitely, like, also it comes with skill, learning lighting and angles and how to direct people.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. If I were you, I wouldn't have gone on the voice disguiser. I would have plugged my business.
That's a real good answer right there.
Well, we have a client for you, Jen, that this other person who DM Burt turned down because apparently they weren't aesthetically pleasing enough.
Okay, here's Jessica willing to go on the voice disguiser. Hey, Jessica, good morning. Do some photographers turn down jobs because they're like, I can't do anything with this couple?
Good morning. No, personally, I would never turn down anyone. In fact, I make it my goal to, like, make you look and feel as beautiful as possible. And sometimes that means a little bit of extra Photoshop, but anything to make the client happy. Now, I will turn them down if their budget isn't big enough, though.
If their budget isn't big enough?
She's like, I don't care about your busted face, but I do care about your busted budget.
Do you charge ugly people more?
It's more work.
No, I wouldn't charge them more, but say if you come in with a small budget and you're demanding a lot of things, then I'm going to probably turn you down way before I turn you down if you're not good looking.
Sure.
So I have a professional photographer friend who just texted me and said she doesn't turn people down for looks. She does boudoir photography. She turns them down based on personality.
Okay.
Like if they're going to be difficult to work with or very demanding. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what she was just saying also. Good morning. One more photographer on the voice disguiser. Good morning. We will call her Sarah. Good morning, Sarah.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. Okay. Have you ever turned down anybody because you're like, I can't do anything with that aesthetic right there?
No, I don't. It's experience and it's money. And you don't have to post them on your social media. And it's good experience to kind of get those difficult clients' pictures.
Okay.
Oh, so you use them for practice.
And you don't share your work.
There you go.
Here, Bird Show.
When is it necessary or respectful to supply closure after a relationship, and when is it just a waste of time?
Mm-hmm.
That is the question. And I feel like I go back and forth on that. And after a shocking phone call recently, I might have finally made up my mind. Because I feel like we talk about if closure is necessary a lot. And I've always been on the side of once something ends, what does it really matter?
Doesn't this depend on the time of the relationship too? Like, if you're going out with somebody for a year and a half, you need closure. You're going out with somebody for a week and a half, maybe not.
So maybe that's what it is for me, because typically in my life, once a relationship has ended, it just ended. I didn't really need an apology, an explanation. I didn't need anything.
If she takes off, if she's the one that breaks up, you don't want to know why?
No, I never felt it necessary. If you're not happy and you want to go, then that's your prerogative.
Bro, you're like a robot.
I guess I just try not to take it personally, right? Like sometimes people...
But it is. She broke up with you. It's you.
No. That's not... Well, maybe. But either way, unless it's something that can genuinely help me as a person,
right.
That I'll benefit from, then give it to me. But most of the time, it's not that. Mm-hmm. So typically, no, I've not needed it. Now, I was in a 2-year relationship a few years ago that ended suddenly. And it was a relationship that I thought would last. I mean, it was probably the first relationship I'd ever been in that in my mind, I was like, I could really see this going to distance. And the breakup was literally sudden. She did something she shouldn't have done. She didn't cheat on me or anything like that. But she approached people in my life in a way that she should not have approached them. In a way that a significant other should just never do.
Like too intimately or disrespectfully?
Disrespectfully. Mm. And I've been damaged from it since. I mean, it really did play a part in my career, in my life. It caused a lot of damage in my life to the point where once it happened, it was nothing to discuss. Mm. It was over. So it ended just like that. And the next day we spoke about it once. And I genuinely thought when she called me, it was going to be, I'm so sorry for what I did. I should have never done that. Are you okay? But it was more like, I did what I did. I don't care.
Double down.
So that was it. There was no point in us even talking anymore after that. And we didn't talk after that for about 2 years. And at first, I kind of felt like I wanted an apology at the least, because I just put so much into that relationship. I felt like I had poured so much into it for it to just end the way that it did. And for you not even to offer as much as an explanation to where this even came from, because it was very sudden to me. I didn't even know she had these feelings. She was dealing with all of this. And in my mind, I kind of beat myself up over it for a while in looking at it like, what did I do? But it genuinely was a situation where the more I sat with it, I really didn't understand what I did or what I could have done. And I guess it was hard for me to accept that sometimes people just do whatever they want and they don't think about the consequences of how it's going to affect someone else.
Right.
And I was just stuck with that. And so recently I started dating and the relationship got more serious quickly than I realized it would. And it put me in this funny spot, because I was in therapy one day and I was talking to my therapist about my past relationship, and she was kind of
connecting some of the things that I'd gone through in my previous relationship as to why it's been a bit difficult for me to accept my current relationship. And she was connecting them in a way that I didn't ask her to, and I didn't appreciate it. But, but it was all making a lot of sense to me. And she asked me, like, do you think that you may still need a bit of closure from the last one? And she said, before you answer, think about it. Before you just say, because I was about to just say, no, I'm good. Mm-hmm. She said, no, genuinely think about it. And when I did, I wasn't sure. And it was awkward because my therapist said a lot of time in life when people are in a relationship, sometimes they do need to have a conversation with the person they were in a relationship with before, but most people wouldn't appreciate that. Most people don't want you to talk to your ex about anything when you're in a relationship with them. But she said there is a, I guess, a maturation that some people should or try to develop in that it may actually help your current partner close some things and become a better person for you if you gave them the space to have a conversation with their previous partner.
Yeah, if you're digging the grave deeper to get closure, then you're good to go.
Exactly, right? So she asked me, do you think your current partner would be okay with you having a conversation with your last? And I didn't think so. I told her, I'm not sure, but I'm also not going to ask. I just don't want to ask that question. Things are going so well. I don't want to do that. And ironically, I got a phone call, random number, didn't know who it was, picked it up, which I normally don't do. I normally never pick up numbers I don't know, but for some odd reason, I picked it up this day. And it was my ex.
Oh, your therapist called the ex and said, told the ex to call you.
Call this man because he's going to keep coming in here complaining about this, and I'm done with it. Call him now. And she wanted to talk, and I was kind of in shock that it was her. I wasn't expecting it at all.
Especially because this just came up in therapy and everything.
Right. Yeah. The timing of it. And so the conversation, it wasn't long. It was pretty brief. And I think it was one of those conversations where she was trying to fish out how serious my current relationship is.
Okay. So she wasn't calling like for any kind, like, closure. She was randomly calling just to find out your status in the new relationship.
So I think it was both, because in the beginning, the questions were more geared towards, you know, so how serious is the relationship? How long have y'all been seeing each other? I see you traveling or stuff like that. And I'm like, where is this going? Because what are we doing here? And then she got to it. It was the most transparent I'd ever seen her. And she was like, you know what? I'm going to just be honest. I can't stop thinking about it anymore. I can't stop thinking about us and what could have been.
Dang.
And I feel like if I don't take this time now to tell you, then I may never get the opportunity. And then she finally gave me the apology. She gave me the explanation of where she was at the time, what kind of set her off, what put her in that place. And she's like, 2 years, I was convincing myself that I didn't need to apologize to you because I was stuck in my own truths and I was wrong. Ooh. And I should have done this a long time ago. And I just want you to know, she told me that the relationship was great. I was great. It was her own personal demons that she was dealing with. And she took accountability like I was begging her to do when we were together. Like, do you want to do this now? But it was refreshing to hear it.
It didn't reopen the door a little bit for you in any way, shape, or form?
It didn't. It really didn't. I think because my feelings are so indifferent toward it now that it didn't move me one way or the other.
Did her explanation, is that what you expected the explanation to be when she talked about where she was in that moment? Or did it completely catch you off guard?
It caught me off guard because I didn't expect for her to take accountability to the point where it was like, it really wasn't you. Like, there was nothing you could have done differently. There was nothing that I needed from you that you didn't provide. I was just in a really bad place and I needed to grow up and I needed to mature. And I did not expect that at all. And I felt for her in that I think she was hoping that that would lead to some type of reconciliation, but that's done with. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you don't really, I guess you don't truly know until you're faced with that opportunity of like, is this really done? And it is. And I told her that. I was completely honest with her. Like, those feelings are long gone, but I don't know exactly what it did to me. I'm still trying to process it, but it gave me something. It gave me something that I felt like I needed. And now I genuinely feel like I can finally close that chapter. There's no more thinking about it, wondering, and I can fully move on.
Does your current lady know about that conversation?
She does now.
You mean like right this
like
second?
Right now.
She just found out.
All right. Yeah. We'll do a follow-up tomorrow. Right around this time.
It's The Burt Show.
All right, Cassie is a little bit frustrated, and I think we've all been here also now. When you're online, are you talking to somebody? Is it AI? What is happening?
So I'm emailing with the CEO of a company who I have met before. And I noticed the first time he emailed, I was like, oh, okay, he's very formal. And the second time he emailed, I was like, he is 100% using AI to craft his email responses back to me. You know how you can just tell when it's AI?
Yep.
Well, sort of. I can't tell sometimes if it's AI or it's being outsourced. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Because some of the words sometimes are a little on the jiggly side. So I can't tell if it's being outsourced and somebody's trying to communicate that doesn't quite get all the words right in English, or if it's AI.
I see what you're saying, for sure. This is grammatically perfect. Like, there is nothing wonky. It's just very stiff and formal. Just crafting my fair share of belated replies and, surprisingly, the time slot you've proposed. Like, things like that where I'm like, normal humans don't talk like this. Or, you know, like typical people, unless maybe you are, English is your second language and you've learned like the formal way. Like if I went to France and spoke French, they'd be like, look at this goober, because everything I learned is from a textbook and that's not how people talk.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure that's not the case. And it has me feeling some kind of way. And I don't know why. I think it's because I'm like, can't you just respond as a... I don't mind outsourcing to AI for tasks. It just feels weird when you outsource the human interaction part that should be super easy. And I'm judging a little bit because I'm like, isn't this very easy to email back and forth? These are not complicated questions. Mm-hmm. It's just like, are you free to meet this time? And then I'm getting like it feels very inhuman.
They're using AI to say yes.
Or I'll be like, hey, sorry for my delayed response. And then the AI will respond to that. And I'm like, just talk to me like a human back and forth. And I feel bad because there's technically nothing wrong. This person, she's making sure that everything is written properly, like, and is, you know, the utmost professional, but it's putting me off doing business with her because I feel that I can't trust her because I'm like, is it you or is it AI that I'm talking to? And I want a human-to-human interaction on this part of our business. And I'm wondering if maybe I'm being too uptight and this is just the way we're just going to have AI assistants talking to each other.
I wonder if there's some small corner of the internet now where there's a hack, where there's one question you can ask that would determine for sure if it was AI or not.
Well, I think she's taking my email and plugging it into AI, right? So I don't think it's like an AI bot responding. I think she's getting my emails, plugging it in, because it's addressing very specific points in my email. So it feels personalized, but there's no... Humans do not talk like this. I can tell. And I went back and read her other emails. And I have read enough in my life and talked to enough people. I do social media. Like, I understand how humans talk in a business sense and online. And this ain't it.
And at the end of the day, though, if whoever is interacting with you is getting the job done, then what difference does it make if it's AI or if it's a person?
I think that's my conundrum, but I feel lied to. Like, if you're on TikTok and you see a picture that's AI, it has a label that says AI generated. Like, I feel like you need to disclose somewhere that it's AI. I feel like I'm having conversations and I'm being duped because I'm not getting this person's actual reactions. Mm-hmm. I'm getting what a computer thinks right. Should be the response rather than a genuine response.
You feel like it's not authentic.
Yes.
I get. And it's funny because this really is becoming a thing, because my dude was texting someone and he sent me like the draft of the text that he wanted to send this girl that he's talking to. And I was like, bro, you didn't write this. Like, it was very obvious to me that he used it, and he wouldn't admit it at first. But there are certain sentences in there, like you're saying, that you're like, no human would say that in the dating world. And I completely knew he was using AI.
Kaylee wants in on this. What's up, dude?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's so, like, for me personally, I'm not a fast typer at all. So, and I'm probably not the best with punctuation and things where, and so versus send someone like yourself, who's very intelligent and who's good with all the grammar, and make myself look less intelligent, I normally would draft something and then throw it through ChatGPT just so, you know, no one's going to pick it apart going, oh, he misspelled this or didn't put a comma there or semicolon or whatever. And so, you know, maybe that's what she's doing. But I feel like what I send normally has It's not like, I get what you're saying. Some things are very AI sounding.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever sent me an email done through AI, but I can never tell with yours.
Well, I did once, but it was, remember, it was like written from the 1800s. Oh, and yeah, it, well, you were like, man,
that was
you
obvious.
Even said, you go, wow. I mean, this is crazy.
I was an idiot. I thought he actually wrote that. Because okay, so AI's great at writing in the style of the 1800s, and that's how these, like, her emails are coming off. And but that's a good point, Kaylee. Like, if you're using it to better yourself, then and be more professional, can I fault you for it?
Hey, Sheridan, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Hey, how are y'all?
Good, thank you.
Long-time listener, love you guys, real quick.
Thank you.
So it's super easy. There is a ton of free AI checker software online.
Ooh. Okay, where do we find these?
I use a certain one called Grammarly, but I'm also a student. So I kind of use it with that, but it's to maybe check papers sometimes.
Okay.
But you can just Google free AI checker, and there's a ton of them, and it works really well. It'll tell you if it was all done by AI or the percentage that is AI generated.
You're Ooh. Great. Thank wow. you for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Sheridan. I just Googled one, found one. Okay. AI content detected.
Is that right?
It is AI.
You feel better about it now?
I feel good that I can tell AI from humans means it ain't perfect yet. It's not going to take over the world.
It's not. And you know what I think people, where they're making the mistake is they're putting it into ChatGPT, and then they're not like adding human element to it. And you can immediately tell. It's a great tool, but you got to tweak it.
Yes.
This is The Burt Show.
We have heard it said that a very healthy assignment would be to assume that if you left a voicemail for your younger self, what advice would you give your younger self? And it helps in a whole bunch of different areas. Like, have you always taken your own advice? What is the most important advice you might give to somebody that was younger? So it's a pretty important exercise. And I was reading about it on vacation and asked these guys, like, hey, let's do this. Let's go ahead and leave voicemails for each other, for ourselves at whatever age we choose. So, Kristen, what age did you choose and why that age?
I chose 16-year-old Kristen.
Okay.
Because I wanted to give her some time to process what I was about to tell her. And literally a year later, there was somebody I needed to warn her about.
Is that right? So it was somebody specific.
Yeah, it was something. So I took this assignment very seriously, almost too seriously. And when I started thinking about some things that I felt I needed to avoid, because there's things I think you need to go through in order to become the person that you are and to appreciate what you have. And I didn't want to detract from that. But there are certain things that happened in my life. I'm like, that was a stupid life lesson. I didn't need it.
Yep.
And so I chose 16-year-old me. And I got it in under 30 seconds, quite a bit. I talked really fast because there's a lot that I wanted to get in because I felt the pressure of 30 seconds. But this is the voicemail I left my 16-year-old self.
Okay, 16-year-old Kristen, I need you to listen up. I only have 30 seconds. Stay away from that older umpire at Shillitoe Park. He's just going to take advantage of you, and you'll look back and realize he's super gross. Do not hook up with a football player from Georgetown. He's just going to ghost you. The rest of the heartbreaks you'll need to experience in order to grow and appreciate the one. In college, when you pull out of Fazoli's, don't pull in the far right lane. There's a cop that will hit you. Go to therapy sooner, get on meds sooner, travel more, freeze your eggs. Love you, girl.
There's a lot to unpack here.
I wish I could have elaborated more on the end when I was like, freeze your eggs. She's probably going to be confused, like, okay, what eggs are we talking about here? And I meant to be like, the ones in your ovaries.
There's a lot to unpack there.
Yes.
All right, who were the dudes in the beginning?
Oh, so there was an umpire at Shillitoe Park. I was 17. He was 27.
Oh, he
waited till I turned 18. It was all bad. So we're going to nix that. And then there was a football player from Georgetown that I hooked up with. And he just, right after we hooked up, he promptly ghosted me. Like, just never heard from the dude again.
He was ghosting before ghosting was even cool.
Yeah, yeah. So that done. And then I told you guys, I was not the best driver. I got in several accidents after I got my driver's license. The most impressive one was I, full disclosure, was in college and I was depressed. And so I went to Fazoli's to get some spaghetti and breadsticks. And when I pulled out of the Fazoli's parking lot, I pulled out into the far right lane and a cop car was coming and turning down and we like collided into each other.
Into a cop car.
Yes. So yes, I got in so many accidents. I actually hit a cop, even though
I never heard anything else about it. And I think they dubbed it was his fault. I have no idea. So figured you could just avoid that. And then I think this is kind of like generic advice for everybody. I wish I would have gone to therapy sooner. I wish I would have gotten on meds sooner. And because of my fertility struggles, I wish I would have froze my eggs.
Mm, okay. Easy, I wish easy. I was a little bit taller, and I wish I was a baller.
I wish I had a girl who looked good. I would call her.
I went to 17 years old also. I have a feeling all of us are probably going to head that direction right there because those are the most formative. And before you even listen to this, just know that at 17 years old, I literally weighed about 82 pounds. All right. I was teeny, teeny, teeny little guy. So that's how I started off. And I have realized that I've made one mistake my entire life, every single time. So it wasn't a whole bunch of things like yours. I focused on this one thing pretty much.
Hey, 17-year-old Bert. It's older Bert. First thing, you got to start working out, dude. Look how small you are, man. Get to a gym. Secondly, dude, start following your instincts and your gut. You are going to mess things. You always know the right thing to do, and you always talk yourself out of it. So I'm telling you right now, your gut does not lie. Follow your gut the rest of your life, and it's going to be smooth sailing. And you're very talented.
That would also be the voicemail I would have left for myself last week. It just never changes, ever.
Mine is in the same vein as Bert's. It's actually to like my 22-year-old self, though, because I think that was the point in my life where I started to realize that I think differently than my peers and then my family, and my journey looks a little different. And I think I wasn't happy because I didn't believe in myself enough to believe that my journey didn't have to look like anyone else's. And I could actually trust my instincts and not change and not, I guess, fold under the pressure. I did have to record this twice. In full transparency, because the first time I did it, I stopped it and I was at 64 seconds. And I was like, okay, I clearly don't have a good idea what time is. But this is what I would have said to my 22-year-old self.
To my younger self, my message to you is simple. Believe in yourself. Never stop. Life is going to throw things at you that make you believe that you should stop. Friends and family will even throw things at you unknowingly that make you believe that you should stop. But your journey does not have to look like anyone else's. Your journey is yours, and your dreams are the ones that need to be fulfilled. You got this. Always believe in yourself. Never stop. It will all make sense in the end. Keep going. Keep fighting.
Amen.
That's it. Don't stop believing.
That's what I should have done. I just should have done their lyric. 30 seconds of their lyrics. All right, Abby.
All right, I decided to leave a voicemail for myself at 18 because that's when my life changed dramatically. I went from living on the straight and narrow to like eating. I was like eating in the library by myself in high school, spending my nights at the youth group to like taking tequila shots off of pledges' stomachs. Like my life changed dramatically. And I just wanted to send myself a little message to take a step back.
Put down the hunch punch. Yes, you 18-year-old Abby, it's me from the future calling to give you some advice. I've only got 30 seconds, so I'll make this quick. But I know life feels out of control and chaotic, and there's so much change happening. Try to embrace it. Take some time for yourself. I know FOMO is real, but trust me, taking like a week to just be like a hermit will make the fun times more fun because you prioritize yourself and your health. Okay, love you. Go freaking Gators.
That was the worst advice. The very last thing. Are you still struggling with the same thing now as the advice that you gave yourself at 18 or no?
What, taking shots off of 18-year-old boys? No.
Not that one.
I wouldn't say so. No, I mean, I think I definitely needed, I'm better at prioritizing myself and being a hermit when needed. Maybe too much to a fault sometimes, but I think I was so caught up in making sure that I didn't miss out that I probably engaged in too much my freshman year of college.
I think that's a rite of passage for those of us that may have been a little sheltered in high school or had some overprotective parents that you go from 0 to 60 the minute you step on that campus.
I will still always point to that as truly the reason why I couldn't get through college. I mean, my parents were so controlling that when I went to San Diego State, I was wilding it out, man. I had no intention of studying whatsoever because it was my first bit of freedom. I never got it at all in high school.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't think I went crazy, but I didn't know when to say no. I couldn't spend a night in my dorm. I had to go out with people. I had to look at the Snapchat and see where everyone was out. And I think just like a week to myself would have really benefited me to kind of take a step back and be like, wow, I've changed a lot in the last 6 months. Let's take record of it. Let's see what we want to keep, what we want to change, and then move forwards, which, you know, that's how I manage myself.
This is The Bert Show.